This is Kevin Conroy,
the voice of Batman.
And you're listening to the DCAU Review, hosted by Cal and Liam, streaming at DCAUReview.com and on your favorite podcast app.
Get charged up for action that'll shock your system.
Tell me that's not cool.
An unstoppable superhero and his crew embark on impossible missions and will bring mutated villains to justice.
When Static's in the house, bad guys better step off.
Pull the plug on crime with the adventures of Static Shock. Yeah!
Welcome, everybody, to episode 239 of the DCAU Review. I am one of your hosts, Cal, and with me, my good friend, my good brother, the man that runs our Twitter account. That's right, it's Liam. Liam, we are, as you have dubbed it, here in Dakota December, I think you've dubbed it unofficially here.
That's right. I've been calling it that the whole time.
That's right. We did that on purpose. We officially branded it now. We talked last week how we have also covered Static in December of 2021. So I think it's official. Dakota Decembers are here to stay, at least for the time being. But we are continuing here with another Static review after last week's episode, Brother Sister Act. You can make sure to check that one out if you haven't. That was a fun one to cover and discuss with you. But this week we have another one that's famous for a couple of different reasons. We have a couple of guest stars on the show from the music business, one whom we tragically lost this year far too soon. But we'll get into that much later on as we talk about our voice actors. Liam, welcome to yet another episode of the DCAU Review.
That's right. So we got there's so many wild guest stars in this episode, three to be exact. And that one plays himself, one plays a guy who looks like himself, and one is kind of going incognito. So I look forward to discussing that, as you said, when we get to our voice acting. But yes, we have a very exciting episode to talk about near the end of the second season of course, with Static and a lot of our other non-Batman shows. We kind of jump around and kind of try to pick some fun ones to do. And we have a fun one here in the episode Duped.
That is right. And this episode originally aired here in the States on the Kids WB back on April the 27th, 2002, meaning we just passed a few months ago. Well, I guess more than a few months ago, about 6-7 months ago at this point, 8 months ago. We're coming up on the 21-year anniversary next year, but we just passed the 20-year anniversary of this episode's debut. And before we get into our four categories today, we, of course, we're going to get to the official IMDb synopsis for this week's episode, brought to you by The Pod Tower. Head over to youtube.com/The Pod Tower to check out our entire catalog of episodes, including last year's Dakota December and the reviews that we covered of Static and some other episodes that have featured guest stars, including Static Shack, a very legendary episode that we have already reviewed. Head over to youtube.com/thepodtower and subscribe. Check that out. And not only do you get our entire catalog, but a catalog of videos from other DCAU creators as well.
Yeah, somehow we haven't touched Romeo in the mix, though. That's going to be saved for a special occasion,
mm-hmm,
I think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That and Hoop Squad.
There we go.
But yes, this is the synopsis for the episode Duped, which was written by Len Yulee and Simmons, directed by legendary Dennis Cowan, with music by Richard Wolff and animation by Dong Wu. And that synopsis reads as such. AJ McLean of the Backstreet Boys is somewhere in Dakota. The girls of Dakota love him, and a talentless bang baby named Replicon wants to destroy him and take his former business partner's record contract. Now, there's a couple of problems with this. One, the second sentence is very run on.
Mm-hmm.
Combines a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it's made clear within the first, I would say, minute of the episode that Adam, Rubber Band Man, and Replicon were in fact not business partners, but just worked together briefly at a record store.
Right.
So it manages to be very long and confusing and also wrong. So D minus this week for the synopsis.
Yeah, and facts, don't let facts get in the way of a very long, very poorly worded synopsis.
I do love the Carmen Sandiegan-ish AJ McLean of the Backstreet Boys is somewhere in Dakota.
That's true. That is pretty good. And the girls love him. Don't forget.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The girls love him. But yes, I guess that can start off our plot recap here as we go through and then eventually give our plot scores. But we open up as we have we're in a music store, and there's a couple of gentlemen that are fighting over a keyboard. Also happening to be in that same music store is Adam Evans, aka the Rubber Band Man, as we've covered in several episodes before. And Rubber Band Man, of course, has turned his life around at this point, has sided sort of as Static's an assistant to fighting crime in Dakota. Later on in the episode, Static refers to him as his sidekick, but I don't think that's quite official. But we get Rubber Band Man, who's there looking at some equipment himself, and a scuffle breaks out amongst a couple people. And once the salesman goes out and attempts to interrupt the fight, he realizes that one of the people dressed in the garb of the music sales department's like a red vest. He realizes he doesn't work there, and that immediately the jig is up as we see that this is in fact this Bang Baby replicon, aka Marvin Roper.
How much for all this? You got a car? Sell it.
Hey, I was gonna buy that.
Well, that's tough. I'm doing my own inventory.
Dude, if he wants to buy the... Hey, man, you don't work here. Yeah.
No fooling, Sherlock.
Bam!
Another metahuman freak out. Time for this hero to get on the ball.
The name's Replicon. I can be anyone or anything. All I gotta do is this. Then I can squash you like a bug.
Uh-oh. Adam.
Static.
Adam? Marvin?
You know each other?
He and I were producing partners back in the day.
Yo, Marv, reality check. We were stock clerks at Stone Gas, a record store. We just jammed sometimes after work till I figured out he was all talk and no walk.
So he begins to sort of wreak havoc, and he even gives himself a bit of expository dialogue there as he introduces who he is and what exactly he can do. His name is Replicon, and he can pretty much make anything turn into anything that he sees. So he turns himself into a very Zeus-like character off of one of the displays in the area. And later on, he turns into there's like this sort of gargoyle-ish demonic looking guitar that he turns himself into, the same type of creature that's featured on there. And so we get right off the bat, he's a shapeshifter. He can turn into various different things and people if he so chooses to. And we get this fight happen between the two of them. Rubber Band Man, as you mentioned, acknowledges knowing who this person is, that they worked in a record store together at one point, but you know that his music was terrible and that Replicon was quite selfish, and they separated. So we learn at that point that Replicon he's no good. He's clearly not a good individual. He's one of the Bang Babies, unfortunately, that has been negatively affected by the Big Bang. And they have a small scuffle in this record shop between him and Static and Rubber Band Man, but unfortunately Replicon is able to escape. And that's when we kind of get the next portion of our episode, where we kind of learn what the plot, the deep plot of the episode is going to be, as we see Static back in his kitchen making some food, and he gets a call from Rubber Band Man himself. And Adam is looking for his latest mixtape, and is asking, because he left it with Static's sister. So he decides that he's going to ask Static to bring it to this location, but he's being very secretive about it. We also had a brief little bit, I think, at the school where they happened to slip in that both Daisy and Frida are both like head over heels in love with the Backstreet Boys, because who wouldn't be in the year 2002, right?
I mean, yes. I mean, I feel like that's even like a little past their prime, but yes.
98, 99 was probably, I don't know. Tweet us if you're a Backstreet Boys aficionado. Let us know when the heyday. I mean, you may say that they're still in their heyday right now, but when was the glory days, you know, Backstreet's back, all right, and all that. You know, that I feel like was late 90s, maybe 2000. So this was in 2002, as we mentioned. So a couple years past their prime. But these girls are obsessed to the point where they have an entire section of the school website devoted to the Backstreet Boys and various different things, including AJ's tattoos, which are maybe an important thing later on here in the episode.
Chekhov's tattoos here.
Precisely.
What are you doing?
Mr. C told us to update the class website.
With 10 pages on the Backstreet Boys?
We're not doing a fan magazine. We're supposed to be writing news.
This is news. It's a feature article about the impact popular music has on society. We're just using the Backstreet Boys as an example.
Click here for Nick's new haircut.
Kevin and Brian's weddings.
Howie's acting jobs.
And, of course, AJ's tattoos.
Ooh! You think we're just a couple of mindless giggling fans, don't you? You know, I find that insulting. Insulting and demeaning.
Okay, sorry.
Honest, we apologize.
Well, you'd better.
Though, I do think AJ looks better with just the mustache.
Definitely, you know, that's what I was thinking mind. Hey, wait a minute.
We learn that as Virgil takes the CD and meets Adam up at this secret spot, he learns that it is in fact a secret recording studio, and we learn that it's being kept secret because in fact AJ from the Backstreet Boys happens to be in town, and Adam is attempting to get a record contract through AJ. And so Adam takes the CD and tries to usher Virgil out quite quickly before he learns that AJ is the one that is listening to the music. But of course, we get the reveal that AJ is in fact going to be a big part of this episode, bigger maybe than anybody could have ever imagined. And he as he steps out of an office and Static sort of can't believe that AJ happens to be in Dakota. But, you know, he's sworn to secrecy by Adam to make sure that he doesn't tell anybody because he doesn't want this to be a big thing. And he knows that people will go crazy and show up and it could ruin his chance at a record contract. So Virgil swears that he's not going to tell a soul until we get our very next split second scene change. And we learn that that's not true.
Yes. And as we learned last week in Brother Sister Act, there's pretty much no one worse in perhaps the entire DCAU at keeping a secret or helping someone keep a secret than one Richie Foley. And quite soon after Virgil sort of tells him, you know, the big secret that AJ's in town and that Adam might be on his way to getting a record label or a record deal, we, of course, have Richie almost immediately seemingly going back into the school newsroom and bragging about a secret that he knows about AJ and of course Frida and Daisy. Like, I guess because Richie still in these earlier seasons, he's kind of like, he's like the Shaggy or like the Jughead of this.
Precisely.
Yeah, so they just offer him food, and before you know it, there's a crowd of crazy teenagers. Although it's a crowd, but there ends up being like six people there.
Right.
It's not a big city, Dakota, I have to imagine. But right. But yes, it's
the wildest fans you could imagine. The wildest six people, the most rabid six people that are fans of the Backstreet
Boys. Yeah, they easily defeat Rubber Band Man, as we'll get to in a second here. But yes, it's clear there's a little bit of commotion now, and of course Adam is very upset about this and feeling frustrated, but if AJ sort of tries to assure him that hey, maybe we can use this as publicity and that it'll look good for him because because, hey, he was with AJ when this mob of fans happened, so they can kind of try to transfer some of this buzz to Adam as they are trying to get him signed by this record label. And of course, there's a scene a little bit earlier, I think, that happens where we see AJ meeting with the record producer and his assistant, as well as of course Adam is there as well, and they're sort of just talking about how AJ loves his music and wants Lester Biggs, the record producer, to sign him, and of course Replicon has snuck in himself at this point and sees that and kind of has a sinister plot at hand. So when all heck breaks loose and the girls go crazy, despite Rubber Band Man's best attempts to keep them apart from AJ, and AJ ends up running back into an alley, and it seems like all hope is lost, and these six teenage girls are going to trample him. He is saved at the last second by Static, of course, who flies in trying to make things right after he inadvertently, through telling Richie, sort of caused all of this commotion, and gives him a ride and back to his hotel, and after getting an autograph signed, sort of goes on his merry way. And as we see AJ going inside, we notice that he is not alone, and in fact Replicon has a new plan that involves, in fact, impersonating AJ. And that's sort of where we get to our big third act here.
Yeah, and he goes in and he completely and totally sabotages Adam's record contract, as we learn, and posing as AJ, convinces the contract to be terminated, and instead have a deal signed for Marvin Roper, aka Replicon, instead. So he poses, continues to pose as AJ. There's a pretty funny scene where he's playing some of Replicon's own rap music for the record label president, and is. And it's clear that he's not receiving it very well. He doesn't like it. So at that point, AJ, Marvin posing as AJ, Replicon posing as AJ, threatens to end their deals, their business dealings together. So the president of the record label decides at this point that it's not worth it. He can sign this guy, and he'd rather keep AJ around.
So, what do you think there, Les, my man? Slamming, right?
It's not quite what I thought it was gonna be.
I hear you, LB. It gets better and better every time I hear it, too.
That's not what I mean. Do you really like this? Because it's not what I was expecting to get from you.
Are you dissing this demo?
Look, AJ, I've been in this business a long time. This ear has made me big money. Frankly, this track isn't in the same league as Adam's.
You're forgetting who I am, man. I want this Marvin guy signed. That's what's gonna make me happy. And if I'm not happy, I'm out of here. Like that.
Hey, whatever you want, AJ. He's as good as signed.
Pleasure doing business with you, LB.
So celebrating sort of to himself, Replicon then walks out of this office, goes into a bathroom, and shifts back into his Marvin Roper form. And then somebody walks in on him in the bathroom. So he quickly shifts back to AJ as he's sort of looking in the mirror. And he walks outside, and he's actually accosted by some actual media, not the school media that was chasing after the real AJ earlier before. But he gives a public declaration of support for Marvin Roper's music, and talks about how Adam's stuff just wasn't quite cutting it. And as the news report is being watched by Daisy and Static and Frida and Richie, actually, Frida and Daisy happen to notice that the tattoos on AJ's arms are in the wrong places. As we've said, it was very important that we had an entire page dropped earlier on in that little factoid that the girls are very familiar with his tattoos, that they were on the opposite arms. So this immediately makes Static very suspect as to what's going on, and believes that you know, something might be up and that Replicon may in fact be behind it, especially when he goes to Adam's house. They go to try and find AJ. AJ's nowhere to be found. Adam's nowhere to be found. And we learn quickly thereafter that Static was right all along, as he's discovered that, in fact, AJ has been kidnapped by Replicon. And Replicon is about to do away with him because he's really not needed anymore, and is in need of a hero, despite putting up a formidable fight himself. He's in fact needing a hero to save him. And that, of course, happens to be Static, who arrives at just the right time to help defeat Mr. Coolio. I mean, Marvin Roper, Replicon. we get kind of the bow on the end of the episode here, as we get one final interaction between how he's defeated. The irony of how he's defeated is pretty great too, as AJ manages to slip a pair of headphones over Replicon's ears in the middle of this fight and just crank the volume. Static questions if it was the reverb that he used on it. He said, no, it was just his own music that made him get knocked out conscious. So that kind of puts the end of towards the end of the episode, as we kind of have one final scene that wraps everything up.
That's right. We get a pretty humorous deal. We get a little postscript, as we see that all is right in the world. Adam does get his record label and a record deal, and he's excited to be working with AJ going forward. And Richie and Virgil are sort of talking amongst themselves as to, you know, whether or not this signing a record deal actually means anything, if Adam's actually going to become famous or not. But Virgil's not so sure. But then, of course, they turn around and see that the two Backstreet Boys superfans, Frida and Daisy, are now wearing shirts with Adam's face on it, and that, of course, excites them. And we. This is such a weird ending. It just feels like it comes out of nowhere, but it's just, I guess, you know, it's just two teenage guys being wacky, but they decide that that this is good news for them, and so they begin to rap about themselves and dance out of the diner, and leaving Daisy and Frida to just kind of stare at them open-mouthed, and before affirming that neither of them knows those people. And that's our actual end of the episode. So we get our happy ending in a very broad, wacky bit of musical comedy to wrap us up here. So that's where we leave things in Dakota this week.
Hey guys,
who is that on your shirt?
Adam, of course. He's so cool.
Then again, there's nothing wrong with being a one-hit wonder. My name is Virgil, and I'm here to say nobody sings and raps my way.
I'm his pal Richie, and I must agree, together we make great harmony.
Harmony. Yeah. Friends of yours? Nope, never seen them.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. This episode had about 200% too much AJ McClain in it for my liking. He ends up kind of being the hero in the episode. As mm-hmm. I said, he has this bang baby that can replicate himself into various different creatures and monsters. And in the final battle, he sort of morphs into this wolfman looking character.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a reused model. We can talk about that in visuals. I think that's a reused model from a season one character. I saw that in the DCAU wiki. It's in one of the first episodes of the series, I want to say.
Okay. All right. So yeah, regardless, he turns into this werewolf looking creature and is about to beat him, but not before AJ pulls an entire, like, he escapes out of being tied up. First of all, escapes on his own, pulls a giant bookshelf down on top of him. And then is ultimately the cause of defeat by slipping these headphones on him. So much of the episode is spent like following this, either the fake AJ around or having AJ have dialogue. It was like there was a contractual agreement where they're like, all right, we're going to bring you in for this episode. And he's like, all right, I'll only do it if I'm in it for 73.4% of the episode. And they're like, all right, it's a deal. Well, who else is bigger than AJ McClain right now? Am I right? Yeah. This episode spent not, there's barely any static in it. It feels like any rubber band man in it also. It's so much of it is focused on this goofy premises of this guy that just happens to look like Coolio, that is so not the real life Coolio, looks like Coolio. His character model is modeled after Coolio, is trying to sabotage the actual real life AJ McClain, who is an actual real life person in this show and in real life. So so much of it is spent with like the back and forth, and it's so goofy. Like, this could have been so much better and so much different. I would have much rather have seen Coolio get his own episode. Like, we get an episode with Coolio, even if you want to use the same character and he doesn't want to be Coolio, that's fine. I prefer that. If you're going to have these, celebrity appearances, like we have in this, I would much rather it be, make the character model look like whoever the celebrity is and just let them be Bang Baby XYZ. Like, yeah, I prefer that to having, oh, this is the actual real life celebrity. And I get it. It's a trope that was used in cartoons and probably still is used in cartoons, but it's to me, it's more fun if you know, and there's a reason why this character looks like this. So it's more of a wink and a nod than it is, oh yeah, AJ from the Backstreet Boys. Oh yeah, the Backstreet Boys also exist in the DCAU. So
apparently,
yeah. So we have to now wrap our minds around that. It's just not good. Like, I did not like this episode's plot at all. I found myself just utterly and totally just flabbergasted that we spent so much time not with static, not fighting this really cool villain that can shapeshift and change into different like creatures, and instead he uses his power for 90% of the episode to look like AJ McClain. So for all those reasons, I ended up giving plot a 3 out of 10. What about you?
Wow. I don't think we need the disagreement alarm for this, but I went a little bit higher. I went 5 out of 10. I had fun with this. I think it's very, it's very light. It is very AJ McClain heavy. There is something to what you're saying about celebrities coming in and playing themselves always kind of dates the material in a way that, you know, this world generally feels pretty timeless when we review it week to week, other than even things like rotary phones or something that you might see pop up work because of the way that, you know, the world is structured and the way that, you know, the animated series were kind of set in this alternate, you know, 1930s to 1950s world. But yeah, there's something about just having a 1990s 2000s celebrity show up as themselves that is that's a little bit odd. I do think I did want more Coolio. I was thinking about him compared to like Ice-T as the Splicer villain,
right?
And probably and how fun it can be to have like a really famous person like that playing a villain in your show, and he's good. I mean, we'll talk about that in voice acting, but yeah, I would have liked to have seen more Replicon, especially because of the cool character powers. Like, you don't even really do a thing. There's like a throwaway line that Static has when he's talking to AJ about how he and Adam don't really get along as crime fighting pals. And like, so you would think that maybe would lead to some conflict, as we have seen them have in other episodes where, you know, Replicon disguises himself as one of them and, you know, and tries to start a fight or something like that. But we don't really get that. Adam's not even involved in the final confrontation. Static goes alone to save AJ, which, as you mentioned, AJ is kind of holding his own against this very powerful metahuman and everything. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's just very strange. It's a very strange episode of television. the subplot of Frida and Daisy, who are like these really the really smart, you know, with it, popular girls, just losing all all sense of dignity when this Backstreet Boy shows up. Like, I think that's fun, and some of that subplot is fun. And yeah, like I said, I think there's elements here of a fun episode that could have been an actual really good episode if maybe you, as you said, toned down the Backstreet Boy a little bit and maybe focus this more on Rubber Band Man and his struggle to move on from you know, the life of crime and take these positive steps forward in his life or something like that. But as it is, he's kind of a side character, despite, you know, this big record deal kind of being the plot thread throughout the whole episode. So yeah, all in all, like I said, I didn't dislike it quite as much as you did, but I would definitely agree that there's a lot of missed opportunities with this one, especially with our villain.
I would argue that the writers were very mean to Coolio. Not very nice.
Not as mean as Weird Al was to Coolio, though.
All right, let's move on to our next category, Liam, which is going to be animation and visuals. And interestingly enough, so as we didn't mention at the beginning, but this is still technically, I believe, season two.
Mm-hmm.
But if you watched this episode in preparation for this week's review, or you know, this episode looks a whole heck of a lot like episodes we're used to seeing from season three and four. In that the characters seem to have gotten quite the makeover. We now have cell shading, a lot more three-dimensional looking characters. Frida looks like a completely different character compared to her, her season one and early season two character models. But so this is a Dongwu Animation accredited production, I believe. And we have, as you mentioned, the great Dennis Cowan responsible for the direction for this week's episode. But man, if it didn't just blow me away that, wow, what a difference that makes in quality and production. Like, it just takes the show, even as goofy and as much as I did not like the plot, this episode is beautiful. There's so many things that I loved about this. Obviously, I mentioned being disappointed that Replicon didn't get more screen time as Replicon, because he really has a really cool set of powers there, being able to replicate anything. I almost wonder if they had him in this sort of disguise mode for most of the episode because of the cost of whatever it was that made those transformations in the first scene and then the last scene happen and look so good. But man, that first scene, him transforming into that Zeus-like creature or that Zeus-like character that he sees on the display, and then you know, his transformation into that gargoyle creature, and then, as we said later on, he gets the werewolf treatment. Man, like, it, those transitions were great. The character models I thought looked great. Mm-hmm. And everything else about this episode, I thought it just looks so much higher quality than we're used to. And it's just the little things of adding like cell shading and shadows and being able to give those characters a little bit more dimension. We have a full scene that takes place at nighttime in this episode, which sort of differentiates and breaks up the bright blue skies and can hide some of that stuff that we've talked about that can be exposed in all daylight scenes. So it's really, really great. I really loved the fight scenes, and I think the transformations were the things that stood out mostly to me. And not for nothing, like, it's not always easy to replicate what a real actual human being that we're used to seeing looks like, and then translate that to animation form. So having the ability to get AJ and Coolio's look like the people that they're based off of, or who's playing them, or who they're supposed to be, I don't think is an easy task. And while they're a cartoony, you know, DCAU version of them, I thought they were pretty spot on. I enjoyed both of their both of them being brought into this world, which is why I said I think I would have loved to have seen some of these guest stars just play people, play characters, because then you can just be like, oh, it's like bringing an actor in or a guest star in to act in an episode, which people do all the time. So shows do all the time. So But I thought this episode was absolutely gorgeous to look at. I was just mesmerized by that small difference that cell shading and bringing up the production value can do to make a show look so much prettier. I know we say that a lot going back and forth between the later episodes and the earlier episodes, but it was really, really noticeable here this week.
Yeah, I think in my head, it's always just like a clean cut. And when Static gets a new costume, that's when the show designs change and the style of the coloration of the show and things like that. And the models are switched here. But yeah, this is it was almost like not off-putting, but strange to me first, because we're still seeing like the old Static costume and everything just updated into this slightly new look. But Richie, on the other hand, he's got his earring now. He's got like the baggier shirt on now, so he's already kind of in his season 3 look. So it was interesting. They hadn't updated Daisy yet, but they'd already kind of started to tweak a lot of these models and tweak the way they colored it, certainly. And it's funny because recently best friend of the show Monica Gabino was sharing some preview panels of one of the upcoming issues of the Batman Adventures Continue season 3 book, which will be on sale starting in January. And she talked about how on this particular issue, where she is coloring the pencils and inks of one another friend of our show, Kevin Altieri, mm-hmm. that she's used to coloring all of the Batman stuff very flatly, but that because of Kevin's art style, it wasn't working properly. And so she had to kind of adjust her style. And I was thinking about that because when we talk about like the flat colors, the lack of shadows and cell shading and stuff, if you look at like the new Batman Adventures, for instance, that's a pretty flatly colored show as far as like our heroes outfits and everything, mm-hmm. by design, but somehow it doesn't come off quite as awkward. And I do wonder if that's because so much of this Static show is set during the day, mm-hmm. and so not only is it flatly colored, but it's also there's no shadows, there's no way to sort of artificially darken the color palette a little bit so mm-hmm. that it doesn't look so flat, I guess, and cartoony, for lack of a better term. But there's definitely something to that. But I've been thinking about that a lot with these earlier Static episodes or the couple of Zeta episodes we've covered. It's like, why does this flat coloring look so much different than the flat coloring in these other shows that we might review? So I think it definitely makes a world of difference, and it's the show just looks better. As you mentioned, I mean, going down to giving Coolio kind of the wild braids and everything that he very much, that were his trademark in real life, and the kind of the swirling transition when he changes almost feels like more magical than metahuman. He doesn't sort of shape shift the way that Martian Manhunter or Clayface do, so he kind of makes him unique again in that way. So yeah, there's a lot of what I thought was pretty unique stuff in here, and it's fun. You wish there was more action, especially when you have like Rubber Band Man there and this shape-shifting villain and Static. There's an opportunity there for more fun fight scenes, something that would really give us something to sink our teeth into. But yeah, overall, I really enjoyed the look of the show.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. And that's why I ended up with a pretty strong score of a 9 out of 10 for this week. I think it's just, it's a great episode. And it's like I said, comparing it between earlier season 2 and season 1, it's unfair in a lot of ways to do that, as we've said, because of budgets and all that stuff. But man, it was it's just night and day. Like it's just makes so much of a difference that it's hard not to give such a higher score than normal maybe for some of these episodes. So 9 out of 10 for me. What about you?
Yeah, I went just one tick lower. I went 8 out of 10. I think it's really fantastic top to bottom. I just maybe was hoping for a little bit more action, a little bit more excitement when it comes to some of the cool characters we had to play with this week. But as mentioned, we had a lot of AJ McLean to get through. But yeah, as you mentioned, the character designs for him, and as I already mentioned for Replicon were very neat. And I think it's a fun episode to look at. Like I said, it might take you a minute if you've been watching the earlier Static episodes and then you come to this one the way we did. It is almost like whiplash for a second there, especially I think because, like I said, because Static is still in the old costume. But yeah, it's a lot of fun from start to finish.
Here we go. All right, William, our next category is going to be, of course, music, which as longtime listeners know, maybe you just heard last week, not usually a huge fan of, but I thought this week, for the most part, there wasn't a whole lot of distracting music that contained lyrics other than our typical Static theme and one of those other bumper themes that has like, I think they say, let's go or whatever mm-hmm. it is. I didn't find too much of the music this week distracting. I did notate the music during the final battle was, of course, very poignant. We love when our hero themes come into play and having Static's theme play as he and AJ are triumphantly victorious over Replicon. You gotta love that. So bringing that to the crescendo at the end of the episode is great. I didn't have too much else to say other than I also like how they went way, way over the top to make Replicon's music sound so, so bad.
That was going to be my notes. They made his beats extra trash.
So good. But as far as Static episodes go, nothing offensive for this episode. So I ended up giving it a 5 out of 10. What about you?
Yeah, I went just one point higher. I went 6 out of 10. I really liked that. I really liked the bit of Replicon having terrible music because that's sort of implied earlier in the episode when Adam is talking about why their potential partnership didn't come to any fruition, and then hearing it there and is a lot of fun. And yeah, I think you have your kind of average Static music. I did like the bit because before the lyrics of the Static theme don't kick in until Static jumps into the room for the final fight there, but it's kind of building up to it. Like the drums are getting faster you sort of hear the little instrumental part of it, and you know he's about to burst in, and then right as the werewolf is about to grab our Backstreet Boy, the door bursts open, the electric, the lightning blast comes flying in, and then we get the Static theme coming in with lyrics and all. So I enjoyed that bit, and then as we always talk about the way they get in and out of the hero themes and weave that into the music that was already happening in the scene is always fun. So yeah, nothing too great to write home about this week, but I thought some good stuff on display there from Mr. Richard Wolf.
There we go. All right, Liam, well, let's bring us home with our final category of the day, which of course is going to be voice acting. Now, we've already alluded to two of our guest stars, but as you mentioned, we had a surprise special secret guest, third guest star, a very memorable name that we'll talk about here in just a second. And of course, the rest of our cast on this week's edition of voice acting.
Yeah, I'll run through some of our familiar names who don't get as much to do here. We do have Michelle Morgan as Sharon, just briefly. We have, of course, Crystal Scales as Daisy and Danica McKellar as Frida. And they do get a little bit to do. They're pretty funny, especially interacting with Richie and Virgil in this one. But they have some fun stuff to do there with Jason Marsden as Richie. And interestingly enough, it's a familiar voice, Tia Tejada as Rita, who's sort of the right hand woman to Lester Biggs at the record store. She's played Tia Tejada is the voice of Talon on this show, and it makes sense because when she started speaking, I was like, I think that's Talon's voice. Is Talon in this episode? She isn't.
They just had some extra lines and they said she was probably in the studio. I was like, mm-hmm. Hey, do you want to play a different character? So they let her do some extra recording. So you got to love that. Yep.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize that, but that's a nice pull there. I probably should have.
That's right. And then, of course, we have Kadeem Hardison returning as our bandman here again. Doesn't get a ton to do. Not as much as an episode that was kind of focused on like an old friend of his coming back to try to ruin his life, should have anyway.
Right.
But that's more of a problem on plot. Mr. Hardison not doesn't have a lot to do. Like I said, I think he's kind of funny in that opening scene when he's explaining just who this guy is to Static, but not a ton for him to do.
Yeah, it's on, as you said, it's unfortunate based on the episode sort of revolving around him, but the plot kind of him being a big part of that, but not having a lot of screen time within the plot. We got to get AJ in here. Got to get more lines out of AJ. And I think the only thing I would say is I think every time prior episodes to this that we've reviewed, I feel like this performance out of him shows that he seems to be getting more comfortable in that role. So there was a little bit more emotion, his frustration when he's upset with Static for sure, you know, spilling the beans about where this secret recording studio is, and their back and forth was great. So yeah, he's getting more comfortable in that role, got to show a little bit more of his range, but unfortunately not what he likely deserved based on his character being a center point of the plot.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, speaking of him, let's talk about the man of the hour here, AJ McLean as himself. I mean, as a voice actor, he's fine.
He's one of those. It's like a celebrity that comes in, and there are some celebrities that you're like, oh my goodness, they should know. Like, do they speak in? Like, do they ever speak? Do they know how to speak in public? Like, what why do they sound so emotionless? He doesn't sound emotionless, but he's also not an actor either,
right?
So
sounds like a regular fella.
Yep.
Who they put in a booth and said, can you read these lines, please?
Correct. Yes. I think that's the long and short of it, and the best compliment we can pay him.
Yes. So elsewhere, as alluded to, Cal, a couple of times now, playing the record producer Lester Biggs is one Malcolm Jamal Warner, mm-hmm. who most famously would be remembered as the eldest son on The Cosby Show, mm-hmm. which is a hard show to talk about now.
he's Theo. I think most people remember Theo, and I think you can still love Theo and that character, perhaps. I don't know. I haven't tried to go back and watch any.
I was going to say, it's a weird thing because it was like one of the most popular sitcoms in the history of America, mm-hmm. and then it turned out that the person who helmed it was allegedly, let's say for legal reasons, a monster,
right?
And so it just kind of disappeared. Like, it's not on it used to be on in like syndication and Nick at Night and all that, like you could still find it, mm-hmm. and now it's just nowhere.
Yeah.
And so it's a weird thing when one of the actors from it pop up in something where you go, oh yeah, I know what they're from. I watched a ton of the show when I was a kid, because again, it was on in reruns for years and years when we were young. I know him very well, but it's a weird thing because
wasn't he also in Community? Did he play somebody?
He did. He played Shirley's husband.
Let's just say he's from Community then. That's
thank God.
then we can ignore the fact that he was Theo on The Cosby.
That's right. He's Andre on Community, and that's the important distinction here. But. But yeah, he's again, it's a very minor role. There is some really good comedy, I think, with him. And as mentioned, Coolio playing Replicon / Marvin in this episode. When Replicon as AJ is trying to give Lester Marvin's beats and telling him what a great job he's doing. Lester's reaction is pretty good as far as him just trying anything to talk his big star out of committing somewhat of a career suicide here.
Yeah, it's pretty strong. It's kind of sad to me because Malcolm Jamal Warner is such an iconic actor. Obviously, this is prior to everyone knowing what the show that he was on, not that he perpetuated any of the alleged things that happened there, but this is prior to him being associated with something that he would no longer likely to be associated with. And he's kind of given this backseat role. Like, I would much rather have seen him in a starring role where he's not buried beneath like essentially two other celebrities that we have already mentioned were much more in the forefront, because one of the characters clearly looks like the guy that he's voiced by, and the other guy is literally the guy. Like, I get this is after the heyday. This is like a decade or plus, maybe a little less than a decade, maybe, right? It was early 90s that the Cosby Show was in its heyday.
Yeah. Definitely in the early 90s.
Yeah. It feels very odd that they kind of buried him in a role, sort of third fiddle almost in this episode, behind AJ McLean and Coolio. So I don't know. I like what he does in the episode. I wish they had been able to give him a little bit more to do, just because of who he is and what he, you know, what he meant to pop culture for a period of time. It's a shame. It feels like it's great that they were able to bring him in for a bit role, but would have been cool to see him in a bigger role at some point. So I think he does a fantastic job in what he does, though, what they asked of him. So not his issue, not his fault that they only
right.
a small role.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think he does he's a fun job. Like you said, it's a very minor role, though. And yeah, then that, as mentioned, we have a Coolio playing Replicon. Of course, he gets to bounce off, as mentioned, a lot of AJ and a little bit of Kadeem Hardison as Rubber Band Man, and then a little bit of Philomar Static. But yeah, I think he's good. Like, he's above average on the celebrity coming in to voice somebody. And again, I wonder if it's because they gave him an actual character to play. And obviously, this was not Coolio's only acting role. Right. You know, he did some acting and all throughout his career. So you know, he was maybe a little bit more polished than some of our other musical guest star in the episode, but yeah, I think he's good, and he has like a certain like kind of cocky like sliminess to him, and the way he's kind of taunting, whether it's Static or Rubber Band Man or AJ throughout the episode, and he's got like a real sinister edge to him. So pretty good job for Mr. Coolio here, I think.
Yeah, I think he did a solid with what he was given. As I said, it really sucks. Like, it feels like all three of these people that we talked about, if you're gonna have no. Forget it. Get AJ McLean out of my face. Like, why is this guy in a Static Shock episode? It makes no sense. But okay, you're gonna have AJ McLean in an episode. Make it his episode and bring in, I don't know, Ebon as the person that is trying to upset Rubber Band Man's record career or something. Like, why? It feels wasted almost that you have Coolio and Malcolm Jamal Warner. Jamal Warner more so than Coolio perhaps, but two well-gifted actors that can act on their own, and it feels like, unfortunately, they're taking the back seat as far as focus is concerned to a lot of AJ McLean dialogue, and unfortunately it feels like they were very mean to Coolio, you know. Not very nice. But yeah, it hurts me to say that this episode featured so much more AJ McLean than it did Coolio. That's all. It's all.
Yeah,
because in my heart of hearts, I thought this was the Coolio episode, you know?
And it's really not. Yeah, I think when we picked it last week, when we were talking, I think on and off the air, we referred to it as the Coolio episode, and it's really not, unfortunately. It's
really the AJ McLean episode featuring a dash of Coolio and a little bit of Malcolm Jamal Warner.
That's right, and a little bit of Static, our main character.
That's it, yes.
But yeah, as mentioned, even Phil Lamar doesn't have a ton to do in this episode. I mean, we get more of him than kind of any of our other main characters, but even then, he's either there to do a little exposition and, you know, dump to get something there. And like I said, there is some fun with him and Jason Marsden interacting with Crystal Scales and Danica McKellar as Daisy and Frida. I think their rapport with each other is good, and it feels like they're all friends and they're kind of busting each other's chops over the girls fangirling over the Backstreet Boys, and then, you know, Virgil and Richie just kind of being big dumb dorks at the end of the episode. So like there's some fun there, but as far as the main episode, there's not a lot for Static to do. So, for all those reasons, as much as I really like pretty much everybody. And again, I don't think AJ McLean does a bad job for a non-actor.
Right.
but he maybe brings the average down a little bit. So for all those reasons, I ended up giving voice acting a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I actually gave it the same exact score. I think that I was teetering between a 6 and a 7. I think Coolio's performance, albeit in the small dose that he was given, along with Malcolm Jamal Warner's, were enough to bring it up just a notch there. And it probably would have been higher had they been given larger roles, as I stated. So, you know, if revisionist history, maybe you go back in time and not make this the AGA McLean episode, but
release the Coolio cut.
Now we're talking. Absolutely. He deserves it. All right, Liam. Well, that will begin to wrap the episode up. So let's go ahead and get our totals together here. Totaling all of my scores up, I end up with a 24 out of 40. What about you?
Yeah, and I'm just a couple points higher, that being a 26 out of 40.
All right, where do we land here on rewatchability? Because it is another Rubber Band Man saga. We know mm-hmm. that Rubber Band Man's character growth continues throughout.
I was going to say, I was thinking about that. I think one day when we've covered all the big important episodes, Rubber Band Man is probably like has the meatiest character.
He's going to get his own DCAU spotlight episode at some point.
I think he could. I think he could because from villain to kind of would-be hero, his relationship with Ebon, which is really only explored in the one episode, and then this one he gets his record deal, and then that kind of becomes a plot point when he comes back in the later seasons that he's on tour and he's this famous musician now. So it's like the character arc of Rubber Band Man is strong. So yeah, I think for that reason you got to give it at least one thumb up, even if the episode doesn't quite all come together as far as a enjoyable episode of static. I think for the continued ascension of Rubber Band Man, I think it's at least a one thumb up here.
And I think it sort of falls into that unfortunate category where, because this features a real life celebrity in it, and Static did several of these, you almost have to give it a thumb for that also, because of just like, it's kind of like Scooby yeah. meets the Harlem Globetrotters. You know, it's just like one of those things. It's like, you kind of have to see this to believe it. It's a bite of pop culture at the yeah. time. Even though it's technically, it wasn't in the DCAU quite yet. Wasn't grafted into it. We're getting there, but we still have this remnant of celebrity guest stars being used to try and get people to tune in to watch it. And who's bigger than the Backstreet Boys? Am I right? it's very, it's sort of that bite of pop culture from this time. It works against it because it dates it, but it's also sort of a nice little, hey, these people were relevant during this time and everybody knew who they were. So, you kind of had to be there to enjoy it, but we can also share it with the next generation to be like, hey, these were important celebrities at this time.
Yeah. And to your point, it's one of the things about Static, right? That's mm-hmm. like, there's whether it's athletes or musical artists or whatever, there's a lot of these episodes of Static where a celebrity shows up playing themselves. So that almost becomes a genre in and of itself.
Precisely. So yeah, I give it a one thumbs up for that, that in and of itself. So there you go. All right, Liam. Well, thank you everybody for tuning in this week. We appreciate it. Don't forget to support the podcast. You can do that a couple of different ways. First of all, if you're listening to us, that's one way of supporting us. So we thank you for doing that. There's a couple of additional ways that we would love for you to consider. One would be subscribing to us on your favorite podcast app, Apple, Google, Spotify. We're on all the major platforms. If you head over to Spotify, we have Spotify exclusive polls and questions for our listeners every single week. You can just go click on the episode and answer those. We'd love to get some feedback and some your thoughts. Have a lot of fun with posting those. So feel free to interact with us that way and leave a 5-star review while you're there. We appreciate that. Right now we are at the 5-star review for Spotify. It was part of our Spotify podcast Wrapped this week that we are still ranked at a 5. So shout out to everybody that has already done that and mm-hmm. and continues to rank us a 5. We greatly appreciate that. Same with Apple. If you want to support us there, leave a 5-star review, leave a little blurb if you want to about what you like about the podcast. You can also support us directly if you go to anchor.fm/DCAU review. There's a link there. We had a new supporter this week. So shout out to Cameron for joining the support there. We appreciate that. Too kind, far too kind.
Absolutely.
So we appreciate that. And along with Sam and supporting us monthly. So yeah, guys are far too kind and too loyal. So we appreciate that. You can also, of course, as we mentioned at the top of the program, subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/thepodtower, and get our full catalog over there. Like the videos when they get posted. That helps us somewhat also. And then, of course, it also helps our friends over at Watchtower Database and Tim Talk, who have content listed on that same channel. So subscribe there, like the videos, check that out. We greatly appreciate it. And of course, time's running out, but you can probably pick up a shirt or a mug or a hat at dcaureview.com and click on the store tab. Get it for a gift for the holidays if you want to, or post holidays, or for any days, like whatever. You can support it that way if you want to grab some merch. Liam, next week we will be reviewing another episode of the DCAU, of course, but we are leaving Dakota Decembers for now, at least, as we will be taking a trip back to the red blood skies of Gotham City for a special detour, a holiday detour, as we just happened to land almost as if we planned it that way on our very next episode, being holiday themed, at least, as we cover another episode of Batman the Animated Series next week.
That's right. It's we're coming home for Christmas, so to speak, here, as we'll be going back to Batman the Animated Series and covering the next episode in production order, that being, of course, Bullet for Bullock.
Well, there you go. Wouldn't you know it? We planned it out so perfectly. So that'll be fun. And then I don't know if we've mentioned it, but we'll be taking Christmas weekend off. We may or may not have something as a little special gift for you around the holiday, but we will not have a full episode Christmas week. We'll remind you of that next week also. So don't keep refreshing your podcast feeds on Christmas or Christmas weekend. Spend time with your family instead, and then we'll be back on New Year's Eve with a new episode. But excited to cover Bullet for Bullock, Liam. That's a legendarily fun episode from my recollection, and looking forward to taking a peek back. It's been a while since I've seen it, so I'm excited to look at it with you.
Absolutely, yeah. It's an episode that won an Emmy for its soundtrack specifically, so very much looking forward to discussing that great music of Shirley Walker, as well as our first time going back to Batman the Animated Series since the passing of Kevin Conroy last month. So I think it'll be fun, it'll be emotional, it'll be one not to be missed, if I could keep it on horns for a second here. But it's gonna be a lot of fun and a good way to ring in the holiday season.
Absolutely. Can't wait. But until then, I'm Cal.
And I'm Liam.
And we'll talk to you on the next episode of the DC.
Bye-bye.